Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
You can do better than that. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Come on, His mercy never ends. He's a good, kind God. God, we love You and we honor You in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. You know, Psalm 121 says, I lift my hands, I lift my eyes to the mountains, because this is where my help comes from. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. So we lift, knowing that God's hand is not too short to do the thing that is required in our life, and that He would make a way for us. Come on, if you need a miracle, come on, why don't we do that? Just lift. Doesn't matter what it is. Perhaps it's a financial miracle today. You need to sell land or buy property. Pay increase, a new job. God can make a way for us. Perhaps today you need a miracle to do with your heart. Maybe it's been broken. There's been disappointment. Maybe there's fear and anxiety around your life. The Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. Or perhaps you do need healing. Maybe the doctors have told you you've got cancer. They've said this is your forever. You're going to have this sickness forever. It's not true. The Bible says by His stripes we're healed. And so, Lord, we've created a space for You today, fully believing, confident expectation that something is about to shift for us. Come on, church, if you believe that today, why don't you give God the biggest clap and thank Him for everything He's done, everything He's going to do. Isn't He good? Isn't He kind? Amen. He's so good. Come on, why don't you have a seat? As you have a seat, just turn to somebody and say, I like Andrew already. Just prophesy that to yourself. And thanks, worship team. You did such a good job. And, you know, it's so great to be back at The Rock. And, you know, so many amazing things are happening here. I'm so excited. Can I just say that on Monday night, we are going to have an amazing, amazing time of miracles. And I know that a lot of people have never seen a miracle before, but I guarantee on Monday night, you're going to see things you've never seen before. I want you to come back. I know that a whole bunch of people say, well, I'm a Sunday morning church person. You know, oftentimes the miracle's in the stretch. If you look in the Bible, all the good guys, all the people who got in the Bible pretty much did something. They stretched, they built the boat, they went before the king, they did amazing things, and that's how they got their miracle. And, you know, today's no different. But you're here, and we're going to believe for your miracle as well. You know, I love your pastors. Isn't Pastor Dan just a great guy? You know, he's got such integrity, leadership. He's nice. I think he could be one of the best looking pastors I know. And but who knows that Pastor Jessica is just a little bit nicer. Just a little bit nice. I don't know what it is, but she's just always so nice and so encouraging. She follows me on social media, so I like her. She's always commenting on my things and stuff like that. Dan never comments hardly, but she always comments, and so we're all blessed. But you know what? We are blessed to be here today. Pastor Dan, again, forgot to mention that I'm married, and that always forget. You know, I feel bad because it disappoints so many people. And, you know, like, actually, when I met Janine 18 years ago, she put a ring on this finger and on this finger. So no matter how I hold a microphone, people know that I'm married. And that's a true story. I mean, I know what you got to deal with. I look in the mirror, so, you know, it's tough. But we're blessed. You know, Janine has got actually a phenomenal message of ministry breakthrough. The truth is that when I met Janine, I fell in love with her. Do you remember what that felt like, guys? You're supposed to say, I still am. So when I met Janine, I was in love. That was it. I wanted to marry her. I was love at first sight. She lived in Australia. I lived in New Zealand. It's two different countries if you don't know your geography. We literally spent 12 days together before we got married. So when the minister said, will you take Janine Marie? I went, Marie? I didn't even know her middle name. I just married her for her legs, amen. I just like, I like him. I'm going to marry that. And so, you know, I was a youth pastor. Youth pastors are crazy. And so I was a youth pastor. I fell in love with Janine. And this is a true story. Janine was at my youth conference. We had about 1,000 young people at it. And Janine saw a picture of us yoked together in this vision she had from God. And we're pulling this plow together. I was pushing the plow and she was sitting down. And God said, it's not like you're going in a different direction. You're just not helping him. And I thought, well, that's the truth. So awkward. Is this taped? Oh, anyway, I love you. And she's probably watching right now. And so anyway, Janine said, what can I do? And to help in the youth ministry. And I said, well, babe, I don't know. What can you do? What do you do? You know, what skills have you got? Got nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills. You know, like, what can you do? That's off a TV program. And she said, well, I talk. You know, she was going to be the ambassador for Australia and Indonesia. That was her career path. And she said, I talk a lot. And I said, well, why don't you share your story and how you got saved? Because I haven't heard yet, you know, because I'm still in love, you know. So I haven't found out if she was a Christian or not. But I kind of, you know, the legs, I was like, I'm going to marry. And Janine shared her story. For the next 40 minutes, I wept. I never knew that she, at the age of 8, she was sexually abused at a Christian youth camp by two of the leaders. She told the mum and dad, the camp mum and dad, what had happened, and they said it was her fault, that she was a flirt at the age of 8. So the way she saw herself and the way she saw God and church was really messed up right from the get-go. She had anorexia, bulimia, and really went through all of that problems and went to South America. She was living in America, studying, getting her master's in international studies, and then went and live with some friends in South America, found out that later they were drug lords, and they tried to sell her into human trafficking to service the Colombian generals who worked in the opium fields. Escaped by miracle. She has this dream where she meets the devil, and the devil says to her, Janine, you're not living for me, you're not living for God. And so many people are like that. They're not committing adultery or killing people, but they're not really living for God. They're in the in-between. And the devil said to her, but if you give your life to me, you'll be successful in all your endeavors. Your children will be successful. And I'm even happy for you to keep your eating disorders. Isn't it funny that the devil even knows your most secret thoughts? Your most secret thoughts he knows. So Janine says, all right, I choose you. Bad choice. As soon as she does that, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, she becomes stone cold, wakes up screaming, Jesus, save me. The Bible says, actually, if you call on his name, you'll be saved. Her mother on the other side of the world has been rang up exact same time, says, I've been praying for you all night. Had a scripture saying the devil would come to sift her as wheat. Janine has this amazing born-again experience. 2 years later, she meets me, the greatest miracle of all time. I don't know why you laughed at that. That's mean. And but literally, Janine travels the world talking about your mind can be free. It's funny, she talks about the mirror, how the mirror would talk to her. Like the actual mirror. Like in a Disney character film where the mirror would speak and say, you're not pretty. And it's funny how the devil does attack our mind, not just for girls, but for guys also. But there's a pathway to freedom. Your mind can be free. You can be set free. The Bible says you're transformed by the renewing of the mind. God showed Janine 7 things to set your mind free. It would be my hope that every girl, every mum, every daughter would get hold of that CD, because truly, you know, so many people are battling with things. You know, I think 1 in 4 is sexually abused. 1 in 6 has a form of eating disorder or control issue in Australia and New Zealand. I think America would be something similar. So this is a big issue. But your mind can be free. And then other resource of God is Be Healed and our Kabbalah Ministries things. If you need a miracle, I always say surround yourself with the miraculous. You know, if I was sick, I would come to this church. Why is that? Because your pastors believe. A lot of churches don't believe, but this church believes. And so if you're dying, you're sick, you need a miracle, I'm telling you right here, I'd come. Read your Bible every day, pray, surround yourself with the miraculous. Help yourself. I want to talk to you about a great subject, which is called limitless faith. You know, I really believe that God wants us to step into a new realm of faith. That, you know, in Luke 1:37, it says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Everybody say, "For nothing." Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. That's an amazing statement. Like, with God, when God's on your side, nothing's impossible. I think that's incredible. You know, there's a great verse in Acts 19, verse 11. Why don't you just flick to it? If you've got your Bibles, if you're a Christian, you can open your Bibles. Otherwise, you can look on the screen. That was a little joke. Somebody felt convicted, probably Dan. Oh, no, he's got a Bible. Hallelujah. What about you, Luke? Oh, electronic way count, I don't know, 50-50. Okay. All right. Says this, Acts 19, verse 11. God did extraordinary, everybody say extraordinary. Extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even his handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured, and even evil spirits left them. Man, what a day. What a day that we serve an extraordinary God. What a day that God wants to do extraordinary things. It says that in our lifetime that we'll do even greater things than God did. And I reckon, you know, this could have been it. I mean, how does Paul get to a place where handkerchiefs are actually healing people? I mean, that'd be pretty outrageous, wouldn't it? I mean, imagine that. Imagine your handkerchief. You know, it'd be pretty powerful. Hopefully a clean one. I mean, that'd be a bit awkward, wouldn't it? But a clean handkerchief. I mean, could you imagine the first day, like a handkerchief was healing somebody? You know, like, man, I've got a few brothers. I'd like to throw my handkerchief on them. It says that demons left when these handkerchiefs hit people. I've got a few enemies I'd like to throw a handkerchief on as well. Whoa, yeah, hallelujah. A demon just left. I mean, extraordinary miracles, don't you think? That would be a peculiar miracle. That God's power somehow is portable, transferable through a handkerchief. That through an anointed man of God, through somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, that when it touched him, it had power in it, that people were healed and they were delivered. No wonder God was saying, that wasn't ordinary, that was extraordinary. That was something special. I wonder, and don't you wonder, sometimes how these things got there? How did Paul get to that place where now even his handkerchief is healing people? I mean, where is this coming from? Let me just turn our Bibles to Matthew 8. Let's just have a look at this for a minute. It's the story of the centurion. It says, "Now when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.'" Isn't that a bad day? Not only is he paralyzed, but he's tormented in his mind. There are so many people who are like that. That when you hit your pillow, it's not a warm feeling. It's torment of your past mistakes, of everything that went wrong, the things you should have done and you didn't do, and the things you did and you shouldn't have. Tormented in his mind. And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you'd come under my roof, but speak a word." Everybody say, "Speak a word." And my servant will be healed. "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. Do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, "Surely I say to you, I've not found so much great faith, not even in Israel." Verse 13, it says, "And when Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, as you have believed, so it will be done for you.' And his servant was healed that very hour." Part of my story is that I had leukemia from the age of 13 to 18. And it was just not a nice moment to find out that you're sick in that way. I had a bone marrow transplant. There were numerous times that I wasn't sure if I was going to live, but one particular time, I remember the Catholic priest coming, giving me my last rites, preparing me for burial. Who knows, that's a bad day. That's a flat-out bad day. The truth is that I knew that God was real, but I wasn't even sure that God could certainly do anything about my life. 2 years prior to that moment, I'd become a Christian in a small Presbyterian church, and a pretty girl asked me, so I came. I think, why not? And I got saved. But it was moments after the Catholic priest prayed for me, my friends came. I remember them, these happy Christians walking in their room with their Bible. And they said, we believe in a different report. We believe that God can heal you. I remember thinking to myself, I'm not sure if he can. 5 years fighting. But I believe that the very fact that I had allowed them to pray for me, even so much so I didn't believe, was enough faith for God to do what he needed to do in my life. The Bible says all you need is a small bit. The very fact you're in church today, God can do something. So as they prayed, God healed me. And that's why I don't think that God's going to heal people. I know he's going to, because God did it in me. And there's a cheekiness, a knowing inside of me saying, well, God's good. You know, it's amazing that he is for us. That God actually wants us to win. You know, that Jesus said, I will come and heal him. There wasn't a hesitation. There wasn't doubt. He was immediately coming. He wants us to win, friends. You know, the Bible says, and I love it in Isaiah, it says, by his stripes we're healed. We've heard it 1,000 times, but have you pondered about that word? The great lengths that he would go to for our healing. So no wonder he's for us. No wonder he wants us to be healed, perhaps even more than we do. He's paid the price. He paid the price for our healing. He died on the cross for our salvation. He is a good God. He said to the man, I will come straight away. You know, so why Andrew, 5 years? Why, Andrew, all this trouble? You know, because there's a fight for your miracle. You have to know that the devil doesn't want you to win. Church today, he doesn't want your marriage to be better. He doesn't want it to be healed. He doesn't want your life to be blessed, your children to be blessed. He doesn't want you to be authentic in your Christianity. He's happy that you would come to church, but then forget him on Monday. He doesn't want you to become a Christian. He wants you to remain the same, beaten up, broken, and depressed. You know, the Bible says that he's got one agenda in John 10, verse 10. It says the thief, the devil, comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But God underscores what his agenda is. He says, I've come that you'd have life and life more abundantly. I'm telling you, God wants you to win. Don't listen to the lie that the devil tries to put inside your mind, saying he's not for you. He's done everything he possibly can. He's saying nothing is impossible for me. I love this because the man, the centurion, has the revelation. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, and that's true of us, that we're not worthy of God's goodness, but he gives it to us anyway. That you'd come under my roof, but speak a word. Everybody say, speak a word. If you speak a word, my servant will be healed. I love that. But I think about my two sons, who I love, Samuel and Jonathan, great young men of God, awesome future, passionate about life. I'm telling you now, if Johnny was sick, if my 11-year-old was in hospital, and Lucan came to my house, and Stacy was there, and we're having supper together, and I said to them, would you come and pray for my son? And they said, I'm going to come. Knowing if they came, my son would be healed. Oh, friends, I would be so happy. I'd be opening the car door, shutting the car door. We'd be going to Starbucks and we'd get a latte on the way to the hospital. I'd be ringing Janine. Oh, Janine, this is a great day. Johnny's going to be healed. It's the same kind of thing. It was like Benny Hinn was in town, a famous healing evangelist. In fact, it was God. God was going to come to his friend's house and he says, no. That would just never come out of my lips. Would it come out of yours? You'd be going, shut the gate. Come on, let's go. Woohoo! We're going. He's crazy. God's coming to your friend. He's going to get healed. And he goes, no. Just speak a word. Why would he say that? Perhaps he understands in Genesis 1 verse 3, where it says, God said, let there be light, and there was. That somehow he understood that the same God who was in heaven is now standing before him. The same God who spoke and is the word is speaking a word. Come on, church. Is speaking a word. The same person who was up there is now down here. And the same word that was working up there for creation to be formed is now right before him. I don't know how he did it, friends, but he joined the dots. He understood that God was real and he was big, and that changed everything. And isn't it true, friends, that that changes everything? That God is real and he's big. Honestly, friends, I think I get born again, about every 3 months. I'm walking on that beach in Australia, I'm praying. And I just pause and I go, God, you're real. And it changes me. He's big. He had a revelation. Now there's limitless faith. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He marveled. He said, he's pondering, he's thinking about what's taking place. I love it when when God doesn't know the answer. You know, those TV programs, Jeopardy, or maybe Family Feud, or he's stuck. He's like, I wish I knew. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm thinking to myself, what's going on? Pondering. Gabriel, something's changing. You know, before this moment, Jesus had to be in the room for healing to take place. He had to put his hand on somebody. The atmosphere, it was about him. But now somebody's saying a word is enough. Yeah. He's opening a new atmosphere, a new day over Jesus. Something is about to shift. And Jesus is now walking into a place of limitless faith. He doesn't have to be in the room anymore. Healing can take place when somebody believes. Come on, if you're gonna clap, give a decent clap. Isn't he good? One of the worship team could join me. You know, I love it in Luke, verse 8, chapter 8, verse 40. You know the story of the woman? 12 years of bleeding, that's what she had. She wasn't allowed to be around large crowds. She was unclean. But this is the story of her. She said, verse 44, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus said. They all denied it. Peter said, Master, the people are crowding around and pressing against you. But Jesus said, somebody touch me. I know power has gone out from me. The woman, the lady with bleeding, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling, feeling unworthy, fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, She told him why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter," I love that language, "daughter, your faith, your belief, it's healed you. Go in peace." Oh, can you imagine her? She believed that Jesus would never speak to her. She was unclean, friends. He was never going to put his hand on her. He wasn't allowed to have conversations. She shouldn't have even been in the crowd. That was her belief, not his, hers. But she decided, if maybe I can't touch him, maybe I can't get a word from him, but if I can touch the edge of a garment, maybe that would be enough. So she sneaks through the crowd, worried she's going to be found out. Touches, a touch. Jesus freaks out. "Can somebody touch me?" All the disciples were there. They're going, "God, it's lots of people are touching you." He goes, no, somebody believed. He said, "Somebody's believing for a healing. I can feel it. I can feel it coming out." He said, "Who touched me?" See, he wasn't even sure. But she came trembling. Why? Because she knew that she shouldn't have been there. She comes trembling. That's her belief. She said, "That was me. The reason I touched you like that is because I knew you wouldn't put your hand on me. I knew you couldn't talk to me. So I thought to myself, maybe a touch of a garment could be enough." Her faith was what made her well. That's what he said. Okay, well, you haven't got it yet. Let me go to Acts 5. "As a result, the people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on their beds and mats, so at least Peter's shadow might fall on them. As they passed by, crowds gathered from all over the towns of Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those who were tormented by impure spirits, and all were healed." Oh, I love this, because can you imagine Peter waking up that day going, "Oh man, this is going to be a great day. I'm going to go to church." And then he looks at his shadow, goes, "Shadow, wow, you look good. Shadow, have you lost weight?" "You're strong, you're anointed. You're anointed. We're going to heal people." I'm not sure if that's how it happened. The Bible says when he was walking down the road, his shadow was healing people. I mean, that's amazing. But I kind of feel like it was a little bit like this, that maybe there's some people, cripples, paralyzed. They can't get to Jesus now. He's died, he's risen, he sent the Holy Spirit. He's never touched them. Jesus can't have a word for them anymore. He's gone. But maybe somebody that's been under his shadow for the last 3 years, maybe a disciple filled with the Holy Ghost, maybe that would be enough. Maybe somebody who's been in Rock Church, baptized in the Holy Spirit, has got belief in the power of God in them, maybe that's enough for healing to take place in somebody's life. They lined up, not knowing what to expect, looking for the man of God. He's coming, but the noise is too much. He's too far away. He's passing by. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The shadow's the longest. Could you imagine the first one healed, paralyzed, now, as he's passing by, not wanting to miss an opportunity, reaches for a shadow. Touching a shadow. And now his bones come alive. Healing is in his soul. Turning to his friend. Touch the shadow. Touch the shadow. Touch the shadow. There's healing in a shadow. Now another reaching forward. Another, another, another. All were healed. Who decided that a shadow was enough? A sick person said, I can't reach him. He can't talk to me. But if I can touch a shadow, nothing is impossible with God. Church, give him some praise in this place. Nothing is impossible with God. So Luke 19, back to Paul, the handkerchief. Why does Paul think a handkerchief can heal people? Why does Paul think that a handkerchief can deliver people? Friends, maybe he was there when the miracle happened. When he saw the girl touch, maybe he was there. Certainly the disciples breaking bread would have shared the stories of the miraculous, telling them now that Jesus is gone, do you remember that day? He spat in the mud. Do you remember? Put the mud in his eyes. You know, in New Zealand, Australia, when you find those detective shows trying to solve murders and things like that, the detectives often look for saliva, for the DNA in people's saliva to solve the crime. And Jesus spat in the mud, put his DNA in that guy's eyes. Miracles were happening. They would have been talking about all the miracles. One day Peter thought, maybe a hanky. Maybe somebody was weeping. I don't know how it first started, but maybe somebody was weeping because they were paralyzed, deaf or blind. Paul pulled out his hanky and gave it to them. And poof, their eyes were opened. They're like, what? A handkerchief now? Somebody who's been anointed can anoint things. Nothing's impossible. God says, what do I need to do in your life? You know, Monday night, we're going to pray for sick people. Many, many people will come, become Christians, find healing in their life. You know, as I travel the world, often people want healing. I know. I said, who wants healing? The whole church, lift their hand up. We need healing. Some people want healing, but they're not in a relationship with God. You know, there's Psalm 121, verse 1. It says, I lift up my eyes to the Lord, to the mountains, because this is where my help comes from. You know, so you're lifting to the Lord. You're lifting to God. You're wanting God to do the miracle. He's the only one who can. Lift up your eyes to the Lord. This is where your help comes from. You've tried everything else. You want God to help, but you're not in a relationship with God. It's a little bit awkward, isn't it? God, I need the miracle. I need the breakthrough in my marriage, my family, my life, my healing. God, I want you to do it, but I'm not walking with you. It's like, what? Doesn't make sense. God can heal people if they're unchurched. Of course he can. But I know, I've been journeying along this, somehow it just goes a little bit better if you're on God's side. Doesn't that make sense to you? I lift up my eyes to the Lord. If I could lift for you, I would. In actual fact, that's what a message is. That's what church is about. Trying to get you to rediscover again that God is good. He's real, he's powerful. That's the agenda of today. To let you know nothing's impossible. You know, before we pray for miracles today, and we will, I want us to address that condition of our soul. I want to explain exactly what's going to happen, even online. I want you to follow me. Because in a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Not now, but in a moment. Because I want you to know exactly what's going to happen. I don't want you to feel tricked in any way. But in a moment, when you close your eyes, isn't it true that everything disappears? But your soul and your thoughts are illuminated. And I want you to ask this question to your soul. Am I in relationship with God? I reckon it's an honest prayer. God will talk to you just like that. It's funny, it may not be like an audible voice from heaven shouting at you, but certainly there'd be a prompting, a stirring inside your spirit, as it were. And I want you to respond to that. I know as God begins to talk to you, there'll be another voice. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to win. He'll whisper to you, saying, do it another time, another way, another place. He'll try and just distract you, get you playing on your phone or whatever he can do. But you tell the devil, if he's beginning to talk to you, say, no, today's about me, my life, my family, my miracle. Something's going to shift for me and push through and lift. Give God this moment, this window of opportunity. As you're pondering that thought, I'm going to pray for you. At the end of the prayer, if you want to be included in a prayer, asking Christ to come into your life, rededicate your life to the Lord, just asking God to be Lord over your life, saying sorry for any wrongs, I just want you to lift up your hand where you are. I'll see that hand, ask you to put it down. Then all together, we're going to pray that prayer so you don't feel alone or embarrassed. I know that God sees everything. So right now, why don't we just do that before we pray for healing? Just close your eyes. Ponder that thought. Am I in relationship with God? It's an honest prayer. For some people, even just to close your eyes and to look into the mirror of your soul, as it were, to be honest. When's the last time you're an honest friend? To be honest with yourself would be a hard thing. But friend, you've come this far. You've come this far. Give God this opportunity. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for those people who are here for the first time, maybe second time, visiting from another church or watching online. You're saying, Andrew, it's true. I know about God, but if I'm honest, I'm not really walking for Him. I'm not living for God. But something has to turn. Something has to shift. I'm not talking about you missed your quiet time last night. I'm talking about when you look inside your soul, you know you're lost. You know, when I was praying for these services, I felt like God said to me, there are numerous people saying, well, can I have another year like last year? Something has to turn for me. And you know the reason that it's been bad is because you're not with God. But something has to change. Or maybe you hear you say, Andrew, it is sin that's separating me from God, a wrong relationship. Maybe a secret sin that nobody else would know about, but we know that God sees everything. Or maybe you hear you say, Andrew, you know what? If I was to face death like you had to as a teenager, if I was to walk out of this room and get hit by a car, stand before God, I don't know if I'd be in heaven or hell. There'd be a fear and uncertainty around that moment, but would you pray with me so I can have a relationship with God, walk in that relationship and have assurance of my salvation? Come on, friend. If that's you, just where you sit it, why don't you just lift up your hand? I see it. Ask you to put it down. Thank you. Thank you. The back. Thank you. Thank you. The sides. Thank you. 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 Lift it high so I can see. Thank you. Thank you. The back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The sides here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Many hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The very back. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Maybe you're sitting here. Truly, maybe you're sitting here. And little thoughts are coming into your head. Don't do it. Don't do it. Friend, how do you think the devil's going to come? Is he going to stand before you in a red suit? holding a pitchfork, some like cartoon character. No, he's going to whisper to you. He's going to say, don't you do it. Don't listen to the devil. Not this morning. Push through and give God this opportunity to do a miracle in your life. Nothing is impossible for God. Come on, one more time. I'm looking. Lift your hand. More hands are going up. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Who else is saying, Andrew, thank you so much? Many, many hands. Praise God. Friends, maybe you lifted your hand, maybe you didn't. But right now, I would like every person to lift your hand so I can see one more time. In fact, I would like to count. I know there's many people, but it's important to count. Why? Because God's counting. He sees everything. He leaves the 99. He goes for the one. He says, if one person comes to Christ, there's a huge party in heaven. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, right now. Come on, lift your hand so I can see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, at least 89 people. Come on, let's give God some praise for that. Come on, let's give him some praise. Isn't he good? He's so kind. Truly, truly, God is a good God. You know, just in my heart of hearts, I just think that something amazing is in this service. And like Pastor said, you know, each service is just building from strength to strength. And I'm so glad that you responded today. Praying this prayer, asking Christ into your life, is a gateway prayer into a brand new relationship with God. The Bible says the old is gone, the new has come. Come on, why don't we all stand and we're going to pray this prayer, asking God to come into our life. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. I understand if you're new, even lifting your hand is a big deal. But you can pray this prayer with earnest. I'm inviting people to pray online as well. If you're watching, pray this prayer after us. God's going to meet you right where you are. Come on, pray. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I ask you into my life as my Lord and Savior. God, I give you total control. Forgive me for any wrongs, for any sin, because I know you died on a cross to take away the sin of the world. Take away my sin. I am a new creation. Child of God. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for every person that lifted their hands or online prayed this prayer with earnest, sat in their seats praying this prayer. Friends, God sees everything. God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch their lives, that everything's about to change. God, we thank you that this is the house of God, the house of miracles. Their family and friends are going to be impacted. They're going to receive their miracles too. God, we love you. We honor you. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Isn't he good?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.